Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Edgecombe's questions just like piqued my interest in sort of this gold exploration. I had someone ask me, actually, I think it was someone from Trout Unlimited this fall, asking if we'd seen an increase in Somerset County streams of people panning for gold and how that works. And I actually saw that in Skowhegan for the first time. I've seen a guy, he's actually panning for gold. And is there a request at all for access to streams and things increasing now with the interest of small-scale gold exploration? Nothing large like in Aroostook County.
I don't know if it's increasing or not. In a minute, I'll ask Rod behind me if he has any sense. But you know, there is mineral, there is gold panning and suction dredging and that sort of thing that occurs in rivers. And I have heard of people doing that in recent years and inquiring about the standards and that sort of thing. So it is occurring.
The Rangeley area. Yeah. I haven't seen anything coming in from Somerset yet. There's some cases where if it's hand panning, where there's no mechanized usage, then really it's not. It's just by standard, it would be an issue. But we have seen some things coming through the Rangeley office.
Do you want to say anything about mineral resources? Or?
Aroostook County was mentioned, and there are rules. You can only use so much horsepower. You can't disturb the roots along the stream. So there's all sorts of rules about panning. And then I have a granddaughter who's 5 years old, and she was at above Mexico Rumford, and they were panning, and they found a little itty-bitty flake. And if you talk to me afterwards, I'll tell you where that was. Any other comments, thoughts? I do have one on the APA. That's the Administrative Procedures Act, right? And that gives certain standards that you have to go by to do any of these. So
that's correct.
I assume most people know that. So we're done with the work rulemaking. And Samantha, is there anything else you need to add? Want to add? Like get off the hot seat, maybe.
Is that it for me?
No, I think she certainly has answered the questions you asked. I would ask that the next on your list is paragraph E, the timber harvesting activities.
And we're going to
skip that.
That's the language review, right? So
we're
going to leave that.
Yeah, you do a language review. That's where the piece that's related to LD 1739. And Bob Doran from Maine Revenue Services is here. And Marcia McGinnis, I believe. Was here from
for the funding
yeah,
piece.
I think most of the questions. I think Bob Doran. This was the question of. It relates to section 26 in the bill, and people had questions about this. This has to do with the county opt-out. And again, remember, the way the bill is, this wouldn't happen for 3 years, and Representative Foster's amendment actually puts it out for 5 years. But if a county in the future were to assume responsibility for land use planning and regulation within the UT for those areas that LURC and provides those land use services for, this section 26 would say the money they're assessed now for land use planning services, instead of going into the general fund, that would go back to the counties. And people on this committee had questions about how much money would that be. So if Bob Doran could come up, and he has some handouts for you. He is in charge of. He's with Maine Revenue Services. He's you're the supervisor for property taxes
in the unorganized
territory.
Before you get started, I have.
And then there were other questions that he may or may not be able to answer, but the questions about if the counties do take on these responsibilities, how much. Who's basically the question was whose taxes would go up and how would they adjust, and we may want to save that for another day, the discussion of the municipal cost component, but I'm sure Bob might be able to give you the basics of how that works, and then some actual numbers. I posed to him if the three biggest counties, the counties with the largest area in LURC, came out, what would that, how would that impact?
Okay, thank you. Just at some point we need the, there's a municipal, we're going to have the other day, the municipal, I can't speak anymore, component. And we had folks here that were going to do this, and on the audit side. We also have an office, someone could do today. I know we have a county commissioner from Roosick County that's involved in financing, Paul Underwood. And if we get to the financial point, it's the will of the committee, we'd like to hear from a man who drove 500 miles round trip to get here. So I think, having said that, I think you're on.
Good afternoon. My name is Bob Dwine. I'm Deputy Director of the Property Tax Division at Maine Revenue Service. My primary duty in the office is to oversee the assessing and collecting of property taxes in the unorganized territory. By the unorganized territory, remember that's a subset of Lurk's jurisdiction. The unorganized territory is that part of Maine that has no municipal government. Lurk's jurisdiction is all the unorganized territory, as well as 40 municipalities who Lurk is planning and permitting for currently. So what I've given to you, I'll walk you through that. There are two funding revenue streams that I'm going to talk about.
And just hold, are folks all set to start? You look down through this. I don't mean to interrupt, but I'd like to read this for the folks out and listening to this. It says, request for Maine Revenue Services and Lurk staff to provide the loss of revenue to the general fund, I understand, if the county chooses to opt out of the Lurk and assume Land Use Planning and Regulatory Commission. So you're answering a very specific question for
That's exactly right, Senator.
Okay, thank you.
The two revenue streams that I've given you some examples of, and I'll walk you through in a minute, are for funding for the unorganized territory Lurk's budget. That's formula in statute in Title 12, where essentially the state valuation of all the unorganized territory multiplied times a decimal, 0.00014, results in a number that is Lurk's budget that we will raise in the unorganized territory property tax commitment in our next commitment. And that value is one that does appear in the municipal cost component legislation that the fiscal administrator annually puts together before taxation committee to approve all state and county agency budgets who act in a municipal-like role for the unorganized territory. The other stream is the same type of a process for the 40 municipalities who are under Lurk's jurisdiction presently. Their state valuation is multiplied times 0.00018, which is 0.018%, times each of those municipalities' state valuation for that year. The municipal services side of my office, not my side that acts essentially as the assessor and tax collector's office for the unorganized, but the municipal services side annually sends out bills to those 40 municipalities. In fact, they've just gone out recently based on that formula of their state valuation times that decimal number results in a essentially a fee that they have to pay. They pay to Maine Revenue Service. That money, once paid by the municipalities, is then rolled into the general fund. So these are the two streams that I'm going to talk to you about. Looking at the first page, this only speaks to the UT portion of that, not the municipal portion. This is the current form that Lurk's funding from UT taxpayers will take this year in the municipal cost component. At the bottom, it's $531,000 and change. That will be Lurk's part of the municipal cost component legislation. It's based on the state valuation of all the UT counties times that 0.00014, coming up with those individual county ones a total of $531,000 or so. That's just from taxpayers in the UT based on this purely formula-driven method of raising money for as a revenue stream for Lurk. On the second page, as Jill said, she asked that to remove the three largest counties from the unorganized territory formula to give you a sense of how much money. If those three large counties, Aroostook, Piscataquis, and Somerset, opt out, in other words, Lurk would no longer be doing planning and permitting for them, and as some of your legislation proposes doing, those dollars would then be paid to the counties, to each respective county. Of that original $531,000 that will be the amount this year, it would be broken out so that those three counties, those three largest counties, would have sent to them a total of 311,000 of that 531, because they are the three largest, they're the largest share of state valuation. So we would deliver to Aroostook County. At the bottom of the page, you can see we would send them, if this were in place now, we would send them 83,000 and change. Piscataquis would get almost 112,000, and Somerset would get around 116,000 from the unorganized territory piece of this only. The next page is the hardest one to get your hands around, but the simplest thing to look at is the top three lines over on the right where you see 114,000, 147,000, 148. That assumes, again, that those three counties, Aroostook, Piscataquis, and Somerset, no longer are under Lurch jurisdiction and are doing that role themselves. And it's a combination of the money that comes from the unorganized territory for those three counties, as well as if they assume responsibilities for the municipalities that they currently have. For instance, you can see Aroostook has 13 towns and plantations, Cary, Sear, Garfield. Those ones that currently the municipal services side sends a bill to, just last week, in fact, if those were also taken over by Aroostook County government, then $31,000 of that revenue stream from the 40 municipalities, those that are in Aroostook County, would also go to Aroostook County. Same thing with Piscataquis County, just under $36,000 of the municipal LURC towns in that county. Those funds, if those counties took on those responsibilities for those municipalities as well in their county, they would get that. And again, with Somerset, with the five jurisdictions, plantations, all of them, that would add another $32,800 to what they were getting from the UT revenue stream. So at the very top on the right, if these three counties were opted out of having LURC do their planning and permitting and took those responsibilities on for the unorganized territory in their county, as well as all the municipalities who are currently LURC municipalities in their respective county, then Aroostook County would receive $114,516 this year using factual state valuation numbers this year. Piscataquis, $147,602, and Somerset, $148,738. Those three totaled up are $410,886 of the total that currently is raised through the 40 municipalities this year and the UT. 788. So about 52%, if these three counties were to opt out and take on all responsibilities for planning and permitting in their counties for the municipalities that are under work in their county as well as the UT, about 52% of the total money for those two revenue streams, for the unorganized territory and the 40 municipalities, 52% would go to those three counties. I know that's a lot to absorb, but Jill picked three big examples, so it would impact the numbers considerably. So in terms of the general fund right now, ultimately, this year, will receive $789,598 from those two revenue streams, from the 40 municipalities who are billed by Maine Revenue Service and pay into the general fund, and also the $500,000 $530,000 that we raise in our property tax commitments for just the UT taxpayers. This is for LURC purposes. So $411,000 about would be a reduction from what would flow this year to the general fund if this were to happen in this year, if these three counties were to opt out and take responsibility in lieu of LURC doing it.
Is this... And the money flows into the general fund. What happens to that money? That's just a gift to them.
You've just gone beyond my pay grade, Senator, in terms of how the accounting happens after we collect it. The money flows into the general fund, and from there, maybe Samantha from LURC could describe how that funding then flows back to them. I honestly don't look at any of that beyond our collection of it.
And we still have the education component, too.
Right. Yeah, but you're not going to worry about that.
Thank you. That's one thing. I'll put that down. I'm not going to worry about that.
Well,
go ahead, Representative McGarry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So it's interesting because if, you know, looking at this, if the three big counties go and you're the fourth county, you end up picking up sort of a lot of the tab if you have the valuation. I think probably the fourth county with the valuations, Franklin County, or no, it's not based on valuation.
No, the county, each of the counties is based on their individual state valuation times that decimal.
Sure.
So Franklin County's share would not change what they have to, what we have to raise for the unorganized territory,
would change,
because the state valuation is fixed for each county. So there's no makeup anyplace else. It's simply the total dollars we would have raised that flowed into the general fund, almost $800,000 this year, if this were the case. About half of that would not flow to the general fund. It would go to these three counties to help them support their planning and permitting process. So everyone else would still pay the same amount as they will have to pay now.
And as far as the valuation of the county, what's is that based on?
Well, this is based on state valuation. As the assessor for the unorganized, consider me like a municipal assessor.
Sure.
My local commitment records generally are different than the state valuation. The municipal services side of property tax annually does a state valuation process for all municipalities in the state as well as the unorganized territory. And that's to bring all values to a theoretical 100%, so the legislature can look at each municipality and the UT's ability to pay its own way. And state valuation, as you probably know, is pretty key to a number of state processes like school subsidy, revenue sharing. In fact, county taxes are based purely on state valuation. It's theoretical 100% of value. That's what these numbers are, and that's what in statute these percent methods of raising LURC budget monies is based on the state valuation, not my local values.
Representative McCain.
How close are we to that 100% for valuation?
In the unorganized?
Yes.
9.4 million acres. I could point to some places where we're right on the nose, other places where we're really not. It's a very large jurisdiction. It's hard to quantify it. We have areas where we're pretty close and areas where we haven't caught up with the market still, waterfront areas. It's not remarkable as that might seem with the way the real estate market has gone. We have some places that are 100%, some perhaps even slightly over 100% with a downturn of the market. And some waterfront values, we have over 500 lakes we put a front foot value on in the UT, and some of those probably still aren't up to market value right now.
Well, thank you.
Any other questions? I do have a couple. When you're doing the state's putting the value on this 3.7 billion acres, and I assume that tree growth is in there someplace, that diminishes the value. Do we have some, should be a record someplace of how much of this is in tree growth?
Then in the unorganized territory, I can't speak to those 40 municipalities that self-govern and self-assess, but in the 9.4 million acres of the unorganized territory, about 7.3 million acres of tree growth classify acres.
7.3 out of the?
7.3 million of the 9.4 million.
So what about lands that are in conservation easements and little green squiggles on the map where the Appalachian Club goes and those sorts of things? How's that valued? What's that valued?
Unless there's something that impairs market value, we assess market value. There certainly is around 1 million acres of the 9.4 million acres in the unorganized that's exempt from value, mostly because of state and federal loan. Baxter State Park is an example. But everything else is valued according to just value, market value, unless it's in one of the current use programs, like tree growth. The UT is still primarily a commercial forest land and probably will be for the rest of my life and beyond, I expect.
Now the issue of valuing lots around lakes, there was a bill that you probably don't want to comment on, a takings bill that had people in front of judiciary for hours and hours and hours. Or line there, when you do a lake and there's 6 miles of lake, is every portion of that 6 miles called place to put a cottage or something, or does it actually have to be designated as I got my 3 acres here, or whatever it is, and lots on the lake? How's that dealt with?
I think I'll answer this like any municipal assessor would answer. you know, we look at what the market indicates value is for a property every place in the unorganized territory. Waterfront, you look at what willing buyer and willing seller will pay for property, and we value all similar property in the same fashion. On any given lake, we may have, for instance, on Moosehead, I think we have seven or eight different front foot values that reflect the quality of the frontage there and what people seem to indicate it's worth to them when they buy it. We base generally our market values on what we see a number of people have paid for in recent years. This is the best indicator of it. So if it has the potential to be developed, we value it in that way. If it's undeveloped, we value it less than if it's developed, just because of that difference of improvements.
I was on the committee a few years ago when Great Northern offered some of the lots up for sale, as you probably know. And we don't know what sky they pulled those values out of, but they seem rather high at the time. You couldn't buy them just as a hand and sell type of thing. Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So a question while we're talking about these lakefront lots and things. As far as new construction, how good are we as far as sharing information between LURC permits and the assessing component as far as bringing those valuations?
We, I've been in this job 13 years now, excuse me, and we've worked pretty closely with LURC. We consider it a sister agency. We have people from LURC in our office looking at property record cards pretty regularly to find out information on things they've discovered. As well, they provide us with, on a regular basis, permits that people get for building a new camp or a garage or whatever.
Sure.
And that's one of our methods. Just like in a municipality, you would have the same thing. The assessor looks at the permits to see where he or she has to go look at new property.
Sure.
And we use that resource very actively. And Mark has done a great job of providing us that. We share demographic information from our billing system with LURC. Remember, property tax law is almost all not protected by confidentiality. You can come into my office and look at 99% of the records in public. So we share, LURC has access to our billing system database for demographics, looking at ownership changes that they may not be aware of or may have interest in, or splits that we've done. As well, over the years, we've started sharing digitized maps LURC paid for a number of years ago, to have all of the unorganized territory, as well as I think it's 40 municipalities, the maps, tax maps, digitized, because they use them for their purposes, and we now share those digitized maps for our purposes. So we've had a pretty good synergy over the years, I think, and it's gotten better as technology has helped us all do our jobs more efficiently. So we do communicate quite a bit on subjects that are of interest to both offices for our different purposes.
One follow-up. It's, it's fascinating, I guess, hearing this piece, and, I don't know if you've ever given any thought or heard the concept of more of a current use tax base for the UT, but this is a very interesting discussion that makes me think more of that. And why would some of these landowners, retain forested land or forested land around some of these lakes if they're being taxed at the same rate, I guess?
I'm sorry if I didn't make clear on that point. If you have, for instance, tree growth current use land.
Sure.
It takes the current use values that the state tax assessor sets each year, pretty low values, maybe a couple hundred dollars an acre,
sure,
regardless of what other value. If it's frontage on Kennebago or Moosehead, a very valuable lake, and it's in tree growth, it's assessed $200 an acre. It's not assessed reflective of the market value of that piece of land because it's bound by this contractual arrangement with the assessing authority that they are going to use the land for commercial forest products, and if they come out of the program voluntarily or through some change in use, they are hit with a penalty that's pretty
sure.
Punitive, quite punitive.
You want to ask that?
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Senator Sherman. I just need one quick. You just said that if there's a lake in the middle of the unorganized territory and that land is in tree growth around it, all the land that butts around it is still in tree growth, even though you can't cut wood within 250 feet of the water?
Whatever the cutting requirements are, Representative, the law is clear that those lands can be in tree growth even though they're encumbered from cutting because of restrictions in law. Current law, that's how it reads.
But to be in tree growth, don't you have to be able to harvest that forest?
But for that provision in law that allows this situation you're asking about, shorelands can be in tree growth appropriately.
Perhaps legislation, Representative Cray would make.
It's a different issue.
Different issue.
A whole different ball.
Enough of those days. So, I don't think any other questions. The last thing I have on my paper is the, and I think this is, you've answered it, a question been forwarded through the Maine County Commissioner Association. You're responding to us, to the Maine County Commissioner Association. Is that a separate one?
Right, that's a separate one.
And okay.
Before we go on to that one, and I think just so it, for the information that Mr. Dworen just brought, if you can recall back a couple of weeks ago when you were in the Taxation Committee and they you received this annual report. Do you recall? It's the annual report on LURC funding. And LURC gets, their funding is general fund. They get a general fund appropriation. And the last table on there, and I should have photocopied this for you. Megan may have your funding, and we can photocopy it if it would be helpful. But the columns in there, they look like the money that's brought into the general fund. It comes from the two pieces that Bob just talked about, from the UT and from the towns that use LURC. That's one stream of revenue. And then there's the fees, the permit fees, and the fines that come in from LURC but also go to the general fund. So the annual report that you get looks at, like, what's their general fund appropriation, and then there's a column that just has the difference. Okay? So I think the information that Mr. Dworen provided, it tells you what money would not be going to the general fund, and then it also tells you what funding those counties could count on to support those doing those planning services. And then, you know, I mean, you can get into a whole other discussion of is that enough or not enough, or what will the other tax impacts be if that's not enough to do it. But the information, just so you're aware that, you know, it is, the LURC gets all its funding from a general fund appropriation. And you do get a report yearly. And the balance, it differs from, like, when I look for, well, for 2011-2012, the general fund appropriation was $1.83 million. And the difference, what wasn't paid, what didn't come in from the this cost component and from fees and application fees and fines, is the difference was about $865,000. Okay? I don't know if you want this. It may be helpful to have this in front of you. It may not, but just that's, you got to think of it's all general fund, but then on the side, you know, this is the money coming in attributable to these different revenue streams.
Okay. It's Senator Schneider, a question about the jails.
So, a large chunk, the 800 plus thousand, is just simple general fund appropriation, not coming from specific streams,
right,
that are generated through,
yeah,
LURC, either valuation.
None
or
of it's dedicated.
Right.
That you have some sort of balance.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's the 800,000 or slightly over that's just plain out, flat out general fund appropriation.
Right.
Okay.
And then I think Samantha would respond to this question, too, at the bottom of page 2 in her hand. I believe these, your table, Samantha, are these the fees and fines?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Dorn. That wasn't too harmful, was it? Too painful?
It was painless.
Still in the Novocaine for the dental chair.
Okay.